The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fence side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fence Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, all of our social media outlets, as well as FinFanatic.com and the Fansided Network. We are 4 days away from the NFL draft with our final positional breakdown, and it's a big one here at the edge position because the Dolphins, this is not a need they necessarily filled in the offseason here, Paul. They traded Shaq Lawson to the Texans and got Bernardrick McKinney in return, and then they loaded up on defensive tackles throughout the offseason. So, you know, the question really remains as we head into this draft where there's no real, you know, Jadeveon Clowney or Myles Garrett type prospect here is, are they going to replace Shaq Lawson? Or are they going to play kind of a different style of defense where they don't necessarily need an edge player?
I think they're probably counting on Vince Beagle and Andrew Van Ginkel to fill a lot of that edge pass rush snap type role. Because we've got to remember, Vince Beagle, when they started utilizing him 2 years ago, was a shock to, I think, all of us, given the fact that he may not have put up the biggest sack numbers, but he put up insane pressure statistics. And I know they were counting on that going into last season. So they weren't counting on Van Ginkel for edge pressure last season as much as they were counting on Beagle. Beagle gets hurt. Van Ginkel starts coming in and stealing snaps from Kyle Van Noy and Shaq Lawson coming off the edge. So having the two of them in that pass rush role and the fact that Miami has that positionless defense, I don't think they're going to put as heavy of a premium on it as we might, but it's possible.
Hey, Dolphins fans. This podcast is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Foods line, Cacao Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you are doing something good for your body. We start with 100% organic cacao beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then we blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you ever have. The result? Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing your inflammation with one simple drink. Not only that, it is friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. For the last 8 years, we have been a leader in the superfoods market and are proud to have served millions of customers worldwide. We are offering up to 15% off when you use code MINUTE15 at earthechofoods.com/minutemedia. Follow on social media at The Danette May and at Earth Echo Foods.
Yeah, I mean, Vince Beagle was good value getting back for 1 year, what, under $1 million, getting kind of a bounce back type season. I think he's a bonus at this point, given
and that. And for getting rid of Kiko Alonso alone, it was worth it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's already value on that. But yeah, he was. It's a shame he got hurt when he did, because he was turning into a good player. And then Van Ginkel came in and probably played even better than he did. So, you know, I don't think that the Dolphins traded Shaq Lawson just to turn around and try to get another Shaq Lawson. No. I think they're trying to do something different, filling his spot. And it may factor into the players we're going to talk about. It may not. I think another player that may enter the conversation at 18 is Christian Barmore, the defensive tackle from Alabama, because he played defensive end at a 3-4. And he was Raekwon Davis's teammate at Alabama. And, you know, it kind of fits that same mold that Brian Flores is looking for. But we're not going to talk about him today. We talked about him in the defensive tackle segment. You know, when I look at this class, it is one of the more interesting positional groups that I've seen in a long time, because you don't have a top 15 prospect in this draft. I mean, someone may go top 15, but you don't have a clear-cut top 15 guy. But you may see 9 or 10 players drafted between pick 16 and the end of the second round.
It's highly possible. And then pass rusher is such a weird thing, because depending on the flavor of your defense and what you want to do, it's kind of like defensive tackle for me, where there are always a couple of guys that are sitting out there towards the end of the draft or even the undrafteds that, if you're looking for a specific role, you can really do a lot of fun things in the back half of the draft with positions like edge and defensive tackle, especially if you've got a heavy rotation and you've got specific roles for people.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take a look at the class here. And one thing I keep telling myself too, with when looking at who might be a good fit for the Dolphins, is the overwhelming theme with the Dolphins at edge, just like it was with the Patriots defenses, a saying that I don't know where I heard it from. I think I've heard it several times, is the worst place for a defensive end to be is behind the quarterback in this type of defense. In that if you have a defensive end rushing around the edge, like that wide nine that the Dolphins had for so long with Robert Quinn, with Cameron Wake, in this type of defense, that doesn't fly. Don't get me wrong, Cameron Wake was a phenomenal player, but this defense calls for a different type of pass rush. You need to be able to go through the offensive tackle, win on the inside, and beat people up up front for the opposing offensive line. So that's going to be a big thing here. And, you know, if they get an outside speed edge rusher, like a few of these guys in this draft ball, it may be a symbol that they're looking to do something a little bit different with this defense too, if that makes sense.
It does. And I'm going to differ slightly as far as my thoughts there. I think Cam Wake and the way he played can fit in this defense, because he didn't round out his rush routes very often. He went about as deep as the quarterback, which is about as far deep as you can go in this defense. And kind of rode the tackle in. If you're one of those guys that rounds it off, yeah, you can't do that. But if you're coming here, and I know this makes no sense in the air, but I think you guys kind of grasp what I'm saying, you can get away with that in this defense, but it's those guys that are rounding it off and coming back in from behind almost that it just doesn't fly very often. And we saw a lot of that with Shaq Lawson last year.
See, Lawson, I didn't think really pressured from anywhere. I mean,
but well, when he had his chance, it was usually rounding way the hell off and coming back.
And I just want to apologize to our audience here, because blasphemy talking about Cam Wake in that way. He's not somebody that would just, you know, run this banana cut to the outs and circle back to the quarterback. No, he was able to really, I mean, his specialty was pushing the edge and staying parallel with the quarterback and getting that pressure. Absolutely. Robert Quinn was more the one that would want to loop all the way around and yes, then get the quarterback on the backside. And that's what didn't work. It's what doesn't work in this defense. So, Paul, I mean, we know who your guy is, and it's Boogie Basham.
Oh, yes.
So, on this list here, you know, I'll just throw it to you first, because I know you want to talk about him. Where does he rank among this group of edge players for you?
For as a fit for the Dolphins, I'd go with fourth.
Okay, okay.
Jalen Phillips, Gregory Rousseau, and Jason Owe, I have ahead of him, as far as that goes.
Got it. I'm really close with Basham between four and five. And because really I've got two defensive ends who are clearly above the others. And really in this class here, two defensive ends who I think are solid first round picks. Number one is Jalen Phillips. I have him far above everybody else. Look, I understand he has the concussion history, and it's important that medically he gets cleared. You know, because if not, all this is a moot point. But when I look at him, I see a star player at the defensive end spot. He's somebody that has incredible body control, is able to win on the outside, the offensive tackle, as well as getting back to the inside. He's physical. He's an unbelievable athlete. He was the number one high school recruit in 2017 for UCLA before transferring to Miami after having the concussion problems. And you look at the last four games in Miami, he was dominant. I mean, six sacks, 11 and a half tackles for loss in the last four games. And in the post-draft process here, I mean, you look at the measurables, you know, runs a 4.56, 36 vert, incredible numbers really across the board, showed he looked the part. So I really think that if the concussion issues don't come back, you've got a star player here. And that's why I've got him ninth on my overall Dolphins board.
And, you know, I think we've both got Jalen Phillips in a decent spot on our overall Dolphins board. I wouldn't be upset with him at 18. He's not necessarily my target. But, yeah, no, like, it's Jason Owe, just that ridiculous speed coming off the edge and what I think he can do there. For some reason, Penn State at the edge and off-ball linebacker and pass rushers, God, they should have had 107 sacks last year from what these guys could do. You know, but I do like Kwity Paye, but I just don't feel like he's a fit for the Dolphins, no matter how many beat writers try to mock him to us. Azeez Ojulari, I see holes in his game that scare me for that as high as you'd have to grab him. And then, you know, Boogie Basham, just the special things that he does and the explosion and violence he does them with, you know, it's if you have not seen him play the read option, I urge you to go out and watch it. It's the read option right now is what everybody's trying to do in football. And with these mobile quarterbacks, you're seeing it more and more. And he does not take himself out of the equation very often. And that's something I like. And he gets to the passer with violence when they drop back to throw it. So, and he's got the speed to make it up. So again, he's a guy that I love.
Yeah, Basham would be further down on my list if not for the Senior Bowl week, because I feel like he at Wake Forest tried to run around offensive tackles way too often, where at Senior Bowl week, he actually played through the offensive tackle and tried to show that he had that power, because he's always had that power. But when you've always been as talented as Carlos Basham has been, you're able that works in college because you're bigger and you're faster than most of the people you face. But when he goes down to Senior Bowl week and he's able to really be physical, it shows that he can take to coaching quickly, adapt to the situation. So that very much impressed me. So now,
I'm going to jump in real quick on that before you move to your next player, because I hated it. And the reason I hated it is I was yelling, "Stop it," at my TV and at my freaking computer screen, because I didn't want him to, like, this is what I hate. Last year, I had my almost ideal draft already mapped out for this year with, like, all right, in the fifth round, we're going to grab Richie Grant. In the fourth round, we're going to grab Boogie Basham. And it's going to be hilarious. We're going to have the freaking draft of the century. And then they're all moving up here into this bottom end of the first, beginning of the second round. And I freaking hate it.
I can understand that. I mean, yeah, he didn't have as great of a 2020 as he did 2019, but still – It was an impressive year, and I think he would have gone higher had he come out last year in the 2020 draft. So Jalen Phillips for me is number one. Azeez Ojulari is number two, but with an asterisk in that he's 6'2", 249 pounds, but he plays much bigger than that. He plays with heavy hands. He has great pass rush moves, unlike a lot of these other players in in this draft at edge other than Jalen Phillips. My thing with him, though, is he going to fit this defense in that? Because Brian Flores and Josh Boyer ask the edge players to do a lot of different things. You can't just be a 6'2", 249-pound edge rusher and be playing with your hand on the ground. You have to be able to do a lot of different things. One comparison I've seen with Ojulari is Joey Porter, and that makes a lot of sense because of how violently he can come off the edge and play with such power and convert that speed to power for his size. So I would be intrigued if the Dolphins picked him at 18, and he's been mocked by I'd say the consensus mock pick right there for the Dolphins at number 18, but I'm not quite sure if he fits this defense.
Yeah, I don't feel he does. And I guess I'm going to use your word. I'd be intrigued as well. It's one guy that I do like a little bit, moving into round two or three, would be Joe Tryon out of Washington. He is not the fastest player on the field. We saw way too many 4.3s this year that have me a little bit skeptical. But he's a guy that's been on that watch list as far as a pass rusher goes for, what, 2-3 years now? And really, to see him ranked as low as he is on a lot of these boards behind guys like Asai, who I like, is surprising to me. And I think he might be there a little bit later based on all these guys in front of him.
I really like Joe Tryon too, and this may be a hot take. You can take it for what it is. I have him over Kwity Paye, and the reason for it is because of how physical he is at the point of attack. He is he is sculpted from head to toe. He can take on the offensive tackles at the point of attack, and kind of my problem with him a little bit, though, is he takes on those offensive tackles right at the point of attack, and then he tries to get around them. And I don't think that's something that's going to work at the NFL level. So he's got to figure out a different pass rush plan to be even more effective. But I do like him more than Kwity Paye. I like him more than Joseph Asai. And the reason for it is that, to me, Kwity Paye and Asai in the NFL are going to have to win strictly on the outside. They're going to have to line up wide, and they're going to have to beat the offensive tackle with their speed. And again, not something I think fits this defense. And a lot of people will say with Kwity Paye, no, he can stop the run. No, he can move inside and pressure that way. And he can hold his own there. Yeah, he can for being 6'2", 260, but can he do it well on the inside? Can he stunt in well on the edge? I don't think he can, Kwity Paye. So that's why I've got him much, much lower than some of these other defensive ends here. Joseph Asai, the comparison I made with him is Tack McKinley, the guy that was on stage and broke all the FCC rules by basically.
This is my grandma.
Yeah.
This is my grandma.
Yeah, followed by three F words.
I love my grandma. In other words, I can't say out here. My grandma.
He had 15 seconds on ESPN, and he cursed more than everybody for 20 years combined on ESPN.
Dude, it was worse than Eddie Murphy Raw, watching him.
But the reason I make that comparison is because I see him winning beautifully to the outside with speed rush, and he's got nothing else. It's speed rush with effort. Speed rush with effort. That's it. And I don't think that's going to work in the NFL level. I see him more as a third round pick. So that's why I've got Paye, and I've got Asai rated below most of the people in this class.
I'd take Asai before I'd take Paye. I can't in good conscience put him anywhere on my board because he's just not a fit for Miami. I think he might have a good career somewhere, but I just don't think he's a fit.
I think he has to play in primarily a 4-3 defense, pin his ears back, and get to the quarterback. That's what I think he needs to do here. You know, it's – and even at Michigan, he never took over football games. You know, he's not somebody I saw as a dominant player. And he played a lot of football in Michigan. And I was always I saw the twitchiness everybody else sees. I saw the athleticism. But 18 would be far, far too rich. But it shows how deep this defensive end class is when I would be okay with him in the second round, because I do think he's a good football player. but probably late in the second round, which it, at that point, it's kind of pointless to even talk about because he's going to be far gone by that point.
Yeah. Now, another guy I think is very raw but could still produce early is Jordan Smith out of Auburn.
And UAB? My notes,
what's that?
UAB?
Yes, UAB. It's in my notes here. Let me pop this open for a second. I got too many windows open, guys. I apologize. He's tall. He's lean. He's a bendy pass rusher. He's got good speed off the edge, and he's got some moves to get inside or outside there. And really, he pushes the tackle back while rounding, which we talked about a little bit before, and that's something I really like here.
I like Jordan Smith, too. He was on my list to talk about, and you said it very well. And he's gained more weight throughout his college career, and he's been more and more productive, too. He looks the part. There's no doubt about that. I like him more than some of the other outside edge rushers like Chris Rump from Duke, who is way, way too small to play in this scheme. 6'3", 225, 230 in that area. He's got to go to a team where it's the right fit and it's not Miami. And there's another outside. Quincy Roche from Miami. He has been an unbelievably productive college football player. He has, for his career, he spent 3 years at Temple, transferred to Miami, has over 30 career sacks in the NCAA, but at 6'3", 240 pounds, not all that fast, not good against the run at all because he can't really hold up. He's somebody that's out for me. So no to Chris Rumpf, no to Quincy Roche at the defensive end spot.
But yes to Charles Snowden. Let's go to UVA.
Yeah, Snowden is one guy in here that's really that line, that really tall, thin, fast defensive end linebacker tweener. I do like him too. I think you could do some creative things with him.
Let's say he plays with explosion. He's got great closing speed. He plays the run well, and he basically identifies an attack. So you don't see that hesitation in his game, but you do see the patience at times, which actually allows him to do more things, but to do them effectively.
Yeah. Peyton Turner from Houston. If you're really looking for a Shaq Lawson replacement, this is the guy. Because he is a giant, powerful defensive end. And he also, for his size, 6'6", 270, he's not as lumbering as you would think. You know, he's somebody that can, several times on tape I saw, just take the tackle and forklift him back to the quarterback. And that's something that, it was Shaq Lawson's role, and he did a pretty good job of it against the left tackle, but I think Peyton Turner could be even better at it. He's somebody, too, kind of like what you said about Basham, where when he was thought of as maybe a third or fourth round pick, that's where you wanted him to stay, so it would be good value. Same thing for me with Peyton Turner. Now it looks like he's a solid second round guy, and that's about where I think he should go.
Yeah, I mean, I do like him. One guy I'm going to talk about real quick, and I'm just going to say Jonathan Cooper, I think, is very underrated and might be a steal. But Hamilcar Rashed, who had a fantastic 2019 rushing the passer and had an abysmal 2020, he runs a 4.58. He rushes with power and speed and effectiveness, and he just had a miserable year this year. So he's somebody that is going to be coming out with a chip on his shoulder. Hopefully Flores got a chance to see if there's anything there during practices for the Senior Bowl this year. Sounds like he had some rough time with not feeling well. I don't know exactly what happened, but he might be somebody that's there in the fifth or sixth round that Miami could sneak in and steal, that even if you're going to just use him situationally on the edge, can come in and do some fun things with low expectation and like I said before, a huge amount to prove here.
You know, he had a terrible last year with Oregon State.
He did.
He basically came back to school, and it was almost like I watched him in a few games because I was really excited, and it was almost like he didn't try. Yeah. You know, I didn't quite get it with him. One thing I do like about him, though, as far as his traits are concerned, I think he's better as an off-ball linebacker almost completely, because he can move well in space. And I like that about him. So, yeah, if you're talking fifth, sixth round, hope he can regain some of that he had in 2019, then I think that's certainly worth the risk. But for our person in chat that mentioned Jonathan Cooper, absolutely. Jonathan Cooper is among a group of several of those defensive ends who were kind of those not so much D-tackle, D-end tweeners, but more of those stay-at-home defensive ends, kind of like Derek Shelby, Kenny Mixon from the past, who were able to be that stay-at-home defensive end. I think Chauncey Goldston from Iowa also fits that. Dalen Hayes from Notre Dame is somebody I'm really high on. I think every time you watch him, he's quick, he's instinctive there between the tackle and guard, and I think that's going to appeal to Josh Boyer and to Brian Flores too. Victor Dimukeji from Duke.
I think it's Dimukeji.
Thank you. He fits that mold too. Cameron Sample from Tulane was a monster during Senior Bowl week, and he's really high on my list too. Dalen Hayes and Sample are two players that if the Dolphins don't satisfy the edge in the first two rounds, you get down to the third round, I would consider Dalen Hayes and Cameron Sample there at that spot because I think they could really get on the field for a lot of snaps.
Now, when Miami gets to the seventh round, there is a possibility that Shaka Toney out of Penn State is going to be on the board, believe it or not. And you want to talk about some tremendous value and upside. Shaka Toney was so much – like, he's one of those guys – we've talked about it in other positional previews – but he's one of those guys that just feels like he slipped through the cracks and you can't quite figure out why he's ranked as low as he is on so many boards out there. Because yes, is he a little bit undersized for this defense? Absolutely. But he just has a knack for getting into the backfield. He's got 4.51 speed, I believe it was. And really he plays clean and just flies under the radar. So he's another guy that I would really love Miami to take a shot at. If he's there.
Yeah, he flies off the edge. I don't know if he'd fit in the defense, but if you get to the fifth, sixth, seventh round, that's a different story. I mean, you're taking flyers at that point. Janarius Robinson and Josh Kando from Florida State. These Florida State guys, I tell you what, it seems like every year they've got four or five guys who are just absolute monsters at their position. And then I look at the screen and they're 4-7. I don't get it. It's and they fit that same mold here. I mean, Janarius Robinson can set that hard edge, 6'5", 265, somehow runs a 4.7. Doesn't play like that on tape, but he's a big, powerful defensive end. So you've got so many players in this draft that are worth taking a risk on. And another guy who's also one of my favorites here too, Ellerson Smith from Northern Iowa. I mean, he wasn't as productive as you would think at Northern Iowa, but you watch him move and you watch him work, and you would think he's going to be a lumbering dude at his size, you know, 6'5". Gosh, what is he here? 6'6", 252 pounds. You would think he'd be a lumbering guy who can't move. He moves unbelievably smooth at the defensive end spot. Long arms, uses those hands well, but needs to be a lot more refined there on the edge as we go. But he went to Northern Iowa, so you're expecting him to be a little bit of a project. If he's there in the fifth round, that's somebody I would really, really like there. I think people are sleeping on him a little bit.
And every time you said one of these deep cuts, I'm like, don't take my guys, don't take my guys. One of which I'm surprised you didn't. One of which I would have been shocked if you did. The first one is going a little bit far down in the competition level, but Taron Jackson out of Coastal Carolina. The more his tape I watched, what I've got here, great moves, great size, great effort, love him. And he's a little bit developmental, but I don't think as developmental as people would think. I'd be interested to see him at a higher level of competition. And then we're going to go to Seafoam Stadium in St. Paul, Minnesota, to the Concordia St. Paul Golden Bears. which I'd have to look. I didn't look this up, but I apologize. I don't know if they've ever had a player go to the NFL. If you go to their college website, it looks like an advertisement for a kid's basketball camp. It's just, you know, their little teeny stadium is the pride and joy of just about every sport they have. And, you know, but if you watch Chris Garrett, he is ridiculously raw. He runs a 4.8840, and he plays faster than that. He plays with a high motor. Every play you see the effort. He's got a lot of moves, and the tools are there. He definitely needs some development, but if you've got a guy that you can move around in this positionless defense, have him grasp that. He's one of those guys that could come from all over the place and possibly do so effectively and have the moves and tool set to do so effectively early, that he could be a lot of fun in this defense, and you can probably steal him undrafted if you let him slide, or possibly even with that last seventh round pick if you still have it come day three.
And they did have a player drafted in 2014 in the sixth round to the New England Patriots. His name was Zach Moore, who was also a defensive end. So they've had some undrafted free agents on other teams too. So you always learn something new here on the show.
I'll have to keep an eye on Seafoam Stadium in St. Paul, Minnesota, and the Concordia St. Paul Golden Bears more often then.
Yeah,
Your footage looks like a film.
You probably don't. Yeah, they don't even have a scoreboard.
they just hold up cards.
Yeah, they just play for effort. Gosh, there's so many guys we've talked that just to run through here. I mean, and we've run through a lot of them. Whether you call him a D end or a defensive tackle, Deo Edeyingbo from Vanderbilt is somebody that may have been a second round pick. He is unbelievably twitched up for his size. Vanderbilt moved him all over their front. They used him at DN. They used him at stand-up linebacker. They used him at nose tackle even. And he was looking like a really good prospect. Unfortunately, got hurt at the end of the year. Season-ending injury may fall into next year too. So if he's there on day three, I think he's going to be an interesting developmental project for somebody. He's a fantastic athlete. So who haven't we talked about here?
I got one we haven't talked about.
No, go ahead.
Chauncey Golston out of Iowa. Now, this is going to – I'm going to say I had a little bit of prejudice here, even though I do like the tape on him. I struggle looking at an edge rusher with the last name Golston. It's – having watched Vernon Golston and just feeling disgusted watching his play – not just in college, but at the pro level, it's very hard for me to see a pass rusher named Golston and not just immediately go, ew, just ew. And it's
being different unfair. Spelling, though. Different spelling.
It doesn't matter. It's still a Golston, and you still go, gah. But if you put that aside, he is a far better edge player than what we saw from that first rounder years ago of the Jets. It was just ridiculously bad. I mean, just always a disappointment. And he's going to be there in probably the fifth round. And he's somebody that I think is going to turn some heads. He's got decent speed. He's got power and size. And I think he put up 22, 23 reps on the bench. So he's going to be able to do some things off the edge, and he's got good size.
And if the Dolphins manufacture, you know, make a trade and get themselves another fifth, sixth, seventh round pick here, I mean, there's going to be so much talent here at the end of the draft, which you really can't say for a lot of other positions here. So who I'm just out on, both of the Pittsburgh defensive ends, I'm not a fan of. They went to Senior Bowl week. They were terrible. Rashad Weaver, I watched two games of him on tape. I turned it off. I was not impressed. I mean, to me, he's a complete finesse defensive end who put up some good numbers by smacking around very bad college offensive tackles. I don't see anything in his game that translates. I don't think he has many pass rush moves. Doesn't do well against the run. I'm out on him. And Patrick Jones, I liked at the beginning because I thought he was bigger than what he actually is. He's 6'4", 260. Bad at the Senior Bowl, too. He couldn't turn the corner to save his life. So
bad at football, you know, just those two little things.
He was productive, but yeah, he's not going to be a good NFL prospect. So out on those two guys. Ronnie Perkins is a fascinating player to watch because he looks like, if you watch him rush off the edge, he's got that, he wears that number 7 and he looks like he's a cornerback blitzing off the edge, but he's also unbelievably strong too for his build. But, he's somebody that I think, again, has to win to the outside. I think he's more of a 3-4 pure outside linebacker. I think he would do well in like the Pittsburgh Steelers scheme, but not necessarily here for the Dolphins. So yeah, a lot of players here, but just to go back to the top, Paul, where I would have to rank them if I had to go like say 1 through 9, because that's really how you have to do them here, is Jalen Phillips 1, Azeez Ojulari 2, Jason Owe is 3 for me, because I think schematically he is the best fit in this defense. Didn't get a sack last year, but he did create a lot of pressure and is an unbelievable athlete and just started playing football when he was 16. So he's number 3 for me. Then I've got Boogie Basham at 4. I've got Gregory Rousseau at 5. Joe Tryon at 6. Peyton Turner at 7. Kwity Paye at 8. And that's when things start to thin out a little bit.
So I'd say I've got Jalen Phillips at 1, Jason Owe at 2. And you know what? I've changed my rankings a little bit while we've been sitting here. I'm going to put Boogie 3 for me. Forget 4.
You better.
We're going to put Boogie at 3, and I'm going to piss off the U fans and take him Gregory Rousseau down to 4, which, God forbid, I have 2 U guys in the top 4, and I'm going to piss some people off, but I'm okay with it. Joe Tryon's probably 5, Ojulari 6. I'm not putting Kwity Paye on there. I am standing on this hill, and I'll die here. Kwity Paye is not a fit for the Dolphins. Sorry.
I agree with you. I mean, I think stylistically he's not a fit. I understand why people are putting him at 18 because of the character. And, he was productive at Michigan, but he wasn't dominant. And I think Paye's a good player, but I've always had him as like a second-round pick. So in this type of draft, you have so many players here who they have a lot of pros and a lot of cons. I mean, Jalen Phillips looks every bit the part, but has a concussion problem. Jason Owe had just generational type of workout numbers, but didn't have a sack last year. Azeez Ojulari looks like a phenomenal pass rusher on the outside, but it's only 6'2", 249. Gregory Rousseau, and a guy we really haven't delved into a lot here on this segment, this is somebody that was supposed to be, here at the beginning of September before he opted out, was supposed to be a top 5 or top 10 pick. Then he has just slowly moved down as these other pass rushers have slowly moved up. And Rousseau had a terrible pro day. I mean, he's somebody that we're expecting to show up maybe a little bit heavier or stronger. Didn't he? Showed up at 6'7", 266, 30-inch vert. Not a good broad jump, 7.53 cone, which is embarrassing if you're trying to be this Javon Curse-like athlete at the defensive end spot. But he does have that length, and Brian Flores and Josh Boyer have done an amazing job with Emmanuel Ogba and Raekwon Davis, guys who can use that length to make up for that lack of speed and lack of explosiveness.
Yeah, Carlos Basham has a concussion problem too. He gives them. So yeah. I'll take him.
He sure does.
Man, sorry, I couldn't resist.
I'm winded after going through like 30 of these defensive ends here.
Dude, I played a half hour of basketball with a 9-year-old one-on-2 with the fiance before this. So, yeah, I'm talking about winded. And then we name off, 407 defensive ends and outside linebacker and pass rushers. Yeah. I'm with you.
I went for a half a mile walk with my wife and the dogs.
You're 10 years younger than me, too. And, oh,
man. 10 years younger. I'm not 10 years younger. And my soul's 20 years older. So
I was going to say, You've been the grumpy old guy from the Muppets since you were born.
Man. So, Paul, we're wrapping up draft season.
Draft week.
Draft week is coming up. We cannot be more excited. Could not be more excited for all of you to join us here too. Monday, we're going to have our big boards, top 36 boards each. We're going to run through them pretty quickly. The reason top 36 is because we are guaranteed, barring a trade, to have at least three players available in those first 36 picks. So we're going to go through them quickly on there. And then Tuesday, we're going to have a dueling mock draft here, and we're going to cap that off too with Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going to be here. Thursday, we're going to be here through the entire first round, and Tuesday, Friday for the second and third round, we're also going to be here doing a live show too. We hope you can join us. Paul, any last words? Anything jump out from chat there?
No. I mean, Cam Wake spoiled us. He was a beast. Zach Sealer with the length. I mean, nah, man, it's. I think everybody seems pretty excited as far as this draft goes. Radically Ceteris said we need Deacon Jones and his cast arm. Goodbye. I'll give you that, Radical.
You know, Deacon Jones is somebody that if they weren't even keeping sacks, track of sacks back in the day, if they had, legend was he would have had like 25 a year. What a shame that they weren't keeping track back then. So hopefully the Dolphins can get another Deacon Jones in this draft or another Cameron Wake, and that's going to do it for our breakdown of the edge position here on the Fin side. I'm Brian Kett, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick. We also represent the Fansided Network as well as FinFanatic.com. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, all of our different social media outlets. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.